We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Thanks so much for being with us. No Randy for the remainder of the week. Looks like he's having an excellent time down there on the beach. Follow him on Twitter at RandyMac81 for all your beach updates. Sam Crenshaw filling in for the next 3 days. So good to see you, Sam. How are you?
Great to be here. It's not at the beach, but I'm up here hanging out with you, so it's great.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't be at the beach, I guess the second best thing is to be in the Kia Studios hanging out, talking sports.
How about that?
The only thing that about when you're filling in for Randy and we get to do these shows is I love the hour and 15 minutes or so before we actually start, because basically it's just sitting there listening to you tell awesome stories about this guy I covered or this thing, or you were telling me all the good spots to go see fireworks in the city and all that stuff on 4th of July. And I kept looking at the clock and I was like, oh man, we got to start. I'm going to go on air in 15 minutes. That means, but you know what? We just do that for 4 hours. Just let Sam tell stories about all this stuff for 4 hours.
You know what? There's too much happening right now.
That's true.
This has been a very eventful offseason, as some would say, for all our sports. Right now we're watching the Hawks for a possible deal. You know, we're watching what's happening with Freddie Freeman. We're going to get into that today. And the Braves playing very well on the road, and maybe Matt Olson breaking out of a tailspin here.
Yeah, nice. You love to see what Matt Olson did last night. Two home runs. Braves go on the road and win against the Philadelphia Phillies in the first game of that series. Always love to be able to get a win against Zach Wheeler, who's been pitching really well this season and had a nice start against the Braves earlier in the year. And 20-5 in the month of June. So that's a good way to get right back on track, not to mention the fact that the Mets lost last night, got smacked by the Astros. So you cut the lead in the division down to 4. And, you know, you're that whatever concern you had about tracking those guys down, you don't have to worry about that. Like, they're fully in the windshield. Their objects in the rear view are closer than they appear if you're the Mets. And the Braves are tracking them down. And the Phillies have been playing really good this month as well. So to go in there and get that win, just kind of a professional, good baseball team win last night. Like Charlie Morton with a good start. You know, kind of Dylan Lee, unfortunately, gives up that homer. Marcell Ozuna, unfortunately, I don't know what the heck he was doing in left field, but allows a scoring opportunity for Philadelphia.
Whoa.
And then McHugh comes in, and Minter, we didn't know exactly what was going to happen with Kenley Jansen now being on the shelf for 15 days with the irregular heartbeat. Who was going to fill that closer role? Well, Minter got the first crack at it last night and was fantastic. I mean, 1-2-3, struck out a guy, 16 pitches, 12 strikes. So if he's the guy that fills in that role, I think we feel pretty comfortable with that.
Last week and a half been amazing for this team. The wins over the Giants, taking 3 out of 4 from them, playing very well against the Dodgers. You wanted to take 2 out of 3, obviously, for them. But then to bounce back from that disappointment Sunday night and get that win last night to open the Philadelphia series. And people talked about the Braves and had the win streak and said they were beating the bottom feeders, cupcakes, whatever you want to say. Okay, now they're beating teams that are factors, teams that are contenders, teams that have had very successful seasons to this point. To me, that shows a lot. And also in the face of losing some folk. You got some folks that have gone on the shelf, and it's still moving along.
Yeah, it wasn't just Kenley Jansen who wasn't able to play and is on the 15-day IL. Ronald Acuna went in the lineup again last night, too. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. He's not been placed on the injured list yet. Maybe he will be, maybe he won't be. We don't know. But Dansby slotted into the leadoff spot last night. Actually went 0-for-5. So to be able to score five runs and have Dansby going 0 for 5 as hot as he's been and in that leadoff spot is even more impressive. And then, you know, you kind of get back to some of the storylines surrounding this baseball team and some of the stuff that we've watched over the last handful of days. I mean, I've said this a couple times now this week. Say it again. What happened on Friday, especially Friday, but then Saturday and Sunday with the return of Freddie Freeman is unlike anything I've ever seen, anything I've ever covered. I mean, I've seen athletes come back to cities where they've had success before. I've seen athletes get emotional before. I can't recall ever seeing that, like quite like that before. And then what happened yesterday with the firing of the agent, we'll get to in a minute. But you got to think Matt Olson, you know, we always try to or maybe make the mistake of viewing these guys as just an athlete. And you go out there, you're a machine, whatever, I got a job to do and block out all the other stuff and do my job. Got to imagine that was a pretty weird weekend for Matt Olson last weekend. You know, with Freddie coming back and all the love, and he's the new first baseman, and he's doing pretty good, not great, but pretty good. And then he comes out last night with two homers. Like, I don't know what part of his mind that was on. Probably not the front of his mind, but maybe in the back of his mind he's thinking about it a little bit. I bet that felt pretty good to hit two home runs last night on the heels of that Freddie Freeman weekend, just to remind people, oh, yeah, by the way, like, I'm here for the next 8 years. I can hit pretty good, too. Like, I'm the guy now, so I love seeing him do what he did last night.
Great timing. Great timing for him to come out last night and hit those two home runs. After all that went on this weekend and with Freddie being back in town, great for him to do that. So, you know, he's a local guy, hometown guy, and everybody's pulling for him. And Freddie, we just, you know, we've been accustomed to and become attached to, and apparently he's still in some ways attached to us.
Oh,
That's So, you know, but for the thing of it is we don't get to see him again until October. And I fully expect us to see him in October.
I do, too. Yeah. That was one of the – maybe the main thing that just was stuck out in my mind all three games in that Dodgers series was, oh, these teams are going to play again in October. Like, this is a playoff matchup. Like, I mean, you can't guarantee anything. Who knows? Injuries and all that. But it just feels like these two teams are destined to collide again as they have three out of the last 4 years because they're that good. I mean, it felt like a playoff series over the weekend. And you know, frustrating way to lose on Sunday, bounce back and get it last night. But then the big news yesterday, and we've referenced it a couple times here, but I think it deserves a few minutes of discussion because it, again, kind of furthers the unusual saga of Freddie Freeman. You find out yesterday afternoon, right after we got off the air, by the way. Frustrating. It's the way it always goes here on the Midday Show.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. Dukes and Bell, they get all of it right in the 2 o'clock hour. Just here you go. Here's a tailor-made topic for you for the next 5 hours. Freddie's moving on from his representation. And I remember Jason Longshore was in here on Monday, and we were talking, listening to some of the audio from the weekend, specifically Friday night with him, you know, just really being honest about certain things. And look, I said, if I'm his agent, and I heard that, I'm a little frustrated. I'm like, are we really playing this thing? What happened? Are we really playing this thing out in public still? And, you know, I don't know if it was his agent that was frustrated by the way things were handled over the weekend. I don't know if coming home and being around friends and the ballpark and the fans and all that stuff was what reached the boiling point. Something happened over the weekend to the point where they had to move on from the representation yesterday, which to me, just if there was any wonder about what Freddie wanted and the way it went down. You got that answer yesterday.
You mentioned earlier how we expect so much from professional athletes to block all the human things out and just be about business. I'm a ball player. I'm getting paid a lot of money. Go out and do that and robust it. And it further proves that's not always true.
Yeah, they're not.
You know, there are feelings there. And I don't know if Freddie brought his family back. I can imagine they probably did.
Yeah, they were, well, at least, you know, saw his wife and his son were in the building.
We're here. Mm-hmm. And so for them to come back and everybody show them love and tell them how much they're missed and how much they're appreciated, there were some conversations. There were definitely some conversations. And, you know, I don't know if it's a lesson learned for younger players coming in to see what happened with this and said, hey, if you're ever in a deal like this, talk to your agent. 2, 3, 4 times a day if you mm-hmm. have to, bug the guy because he's working for you. And it seems like there's just some breakdown in communication there, and then things led to what we see.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is there's nothing you can do about what happened. Like, it's interesting because this is all kind of fresh over the last couple of days and firing the agent yesterday. But, like, what happened. Freddie's a Dodger. I think that's kind of what he tried to say yesterday with maybe turn the page, whatever. Hopefully they can do that because, again, like, he signed a contract. He's there. Matt Olson's here, and things are okay. the lesson hopefully can be learned by Dansby, because Dansby's got the same representation. He was asked yesterday by Justin Toscano of the AJC out there in Philly about whether or not he would consider moving on from the representation as well. And he said, no, I'm happy with my agents. I'm not going anywhere. But it's the same folks, same organization, not the same situation, but a similar type of situation. Right. Tell them what you want. Make sure they know exactly what you want. Because the last thing you want is to get to that point like Freddie did, and other free agents have had happen in the past too, where you're on the treadmill looking at ESPN and you see on the bottom line, oh, the Braves have traded for Matt Olson.
Ooh.
What? That's my position. Like Dansby doesn't want to be on the treadmill looking at ESPN and see that, I don't know who it would be. Trey Turner is the next shortstop of the Braves or something like that. So if you want to be here, be here. It's up to you. You make those decisions. Just make sure you're telling that to your agents while they're negotiating on your behalf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in Freddie's, his situation was a situation where he was going back to where he grew up. So people say, okay, well, that makes sense. He's going to go back. He's going to be around, old friends and family and things like that. He's in a heck of a lineup. There's nothing wrong with that lineup he's in with the Dodgers to be a part of that.
They're talented.
you know what I mean? No easy outs in that lineup he's going to be in that. So you feel, okay, that's what the thing. But if you look at the deal and the things that he has to pay living in California, the things you have to pay to live there compared to here, that's kind of a loss. Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In a way. It's the deal, like you said. It's been done. He's come back and he's shown how much, he still has feelings for everybody. And that's going to always be, maybe you need a year, a season to get beyond that. But we've got our guy at first base now. He showed it last night, and we're moving forward.
Yeah, and what's not going to happen is, you get to these points, and then people start having fun on social media of like, make a trade. Call him up. No,
it's not that easy.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. Although I'll say this, who knows? I would have never in a million years predicted that what happened over the weekend would happen, and then coming out of it is he'd fire his agent. And Clayton Kershaw's having to have quotes about it, and they're doing maybe if anything, it'll mess the Dodgers up. Maybe it'll mess up their chemistry in their clubhouse. That'd be great.
We'll go for that,
and we can throw them off the rails. That'd be nice. One less person you got to deal with in the postseason, although I'm not counting on that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending coming up next. We'll get back into some more of the details about the Braves' win last night, 5-3 over the Phillies. It is the NBA offseason. We're still kind of sitting and waiting. A lot of fun rumors. No action yet. Maybe we'll get something. It'll be at 2:15 today. Hawks will do something at 2:15 today. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
Heat up tonight as this ball is walloped toward the gap in left center field at the 374 side and gone. A solo home run for Darno. The Braves strike first in the first. It's 1-0 Atlanta in Philadelphia.
Yeah, nice start last night. Travis Darno with a homer in the first inning. We'll get to the guy right after him that had a couple homers as well. But Travis Darno has been fantastic. I know Contreras and Darno kind of combined have been just a great catcher duo, but man, Darno is really, as much as people want to see Contreras a lot, and I understand why, Darno's like, don't forget about me, man. I'm in here hitting the baseball too. He's having a really nice year.
He's having a fantastic year. I think the production we're getting from that spot has been incredible.
Yeah.
You know, you expect to get some, but maybe not as much as we're getting, and you hate to have a day when you have to leave either one of them out of the lineup. Because they're both very productive up to the second spot in the order. And that says a lot because that's what he's doing. He's putting the ball in play. He's putting it between the lines.
He is. Last night was one of those interesting nights, too, where they had to get creative with the lineup again. No Ronald Acuna. Don't know. I'm sure they were asked about this, and we'll ask Justin Toscano about it in about an hour from the AJC. About Ronald Acuna and the timeline, all that kind of stuff, whether maybe we see him today, maybe see him tomorrow. I don't exactly know how long he's going to be out for, but when he's out, they've shuffled Dansby into the leadoff spot, which I understand. Dansby's been the best hitter on the team all season long, so you want to get him as many at-bats as possible. And then Darno was batting second. He's been very good in that spot. The interesting thing about what they have to deal with now with Acuna being unavailable is that means somebody else has to play right field. And yesterday, that was Adam Duvall to start the game, which means then Adam Duvall can't play left field. I mean, somebody else has to play left field. Unfortunately, yesterday it was Marcell Ozuna, who, I mean, it's almost as if he's, like, messing with us at this point. It's like, you know you can't get to that ball,
yeah.
Marcell. You know you're not making that play. And he slides and it bounces. Thank God it was Didi Gregorius and not Michael Harris or somebody like that. Because that could have been an inside-the-park home run if it was like a blazer on the base pass. Like, Ozuna's got to get a little bit more of a conservative approach out there, man, because he doesn't have a chance.
Just be realistic.
Yeah.
Just be realistic. You know you. By now, we know you.
We know you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But
they know you. They're going to test that arm every chance. They know who you are out there.
Right, right. There's no secret. So my thing is, you know, play within your game. You know, if you're going to be out there in left field, you do. I mean, there's sometimes situations arise when you want to try to make something happen, do something fairly dramatic. Last night, it just didn't work at all. So I'm like, dude, just do some fundamental basic stuff.
Yeah, just get in front of it, man.
That's all.
It's a single. It's a bloop single. All right, great. You live to play another game. The next batter grounds out. Instead of it being a run, just an out with a guy on second base. Maybe a double play, even, potentially. Now, the good news is Eddie Rosario is close, it feels like.
Okay.
He's made a few rehab starts now. He was 3-for-10 over the weekend. Three hits, by the way, is how many hits he had the whole year as a Brave before they had to shut him down because of his eye issues. So hopefully Eddie Rosario comes back ASAP. Never have to see Marcell Ozuna play left field ever again because we understand the sacrifice that the defense is making when he's out there. Just get in front, stop trying to make highlight reel catches. When Marcell Ozuna goes to the ground in the outfield, nothing good happens. It's a disaster waiting to happen. And the good news beyond the win and beyond Darno starting the game like that was Matt Olson excellent last night. Let's hear some of that.
Swing and a towering high fly ball to right. Herrera on the run. Warning track. Wall. It's gone. Back-to-back homers for Atlanta in the first. A towering solo home run. That's how you start a road trip, Matt Olson. It's 2-0. Swing and a shot hammered toward right center field. Did it stay up? Yes! Matt Olson has a two-homer game. And the Braves are back in front. A fist pump for Olson, Jeff, as he got to first base. He plays so stoically, but all of a sudden, the excitement's starting to brew for Matt.
Little emotion last night for Matt Olson with that go-ahead homer in the eighth inning. Love to see that.
That's a good thing. A little bit of a smile. He's one of those guys, he doesn't let you in. He doesn't show you a whole lot. You know, that's part of his makeup. But last night, you know, deep down inside, he had be feeling really good.
Mm-hmm. And then Snit after the game. I haven't heard this clip. Anytime Snit says anything. By the way, before we play this, shout out to Brian Snitker for just being a great dude. Yesterday before the game, he went over to the Nationals clubhouse and asked their manager if he would be on his staff for the All-Star game. Because when they won the World Series a couple years ago, there was no All-Star game. Obviously, the World Series winning group gets to manage the All-Star game the next year. They didn't have one. So he asked him if he would be on his staff for the All-Star game this year, just as sort of, hey, you didn't get to do it when it was your turn. Would you come be a part of my crew this year? And he said yes. And just, you know.
Yeah, cool is that?
The right thing to do from Brian Snitker. You love it. Here he is talking about Charlie Morton.
He was dancing around, man. I said if I smoked, I'd went through a pack of cigarettes today. But, you know, he kept getting out of it. I mean, and then last couple innings, he started, he settled in and kind of had a different look about him. But he didn't let the roof cave in on him. He held it right there and managed it.
You're talking about Charlie Morton. So much for the 32-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio Charlie Morton had coming into that game in the last three starts. Five strikeouts, four walks. Not the cleanest outing Charlie Morton has ever had, but still effective. And one for Marcelo Zuna's blunder in left field, he would have only given up one run likely. And 5 2/3, still solid. Still kind of looking for Charlie to string together 5, 6, 7 of those starts in a row and look like what he looked like in the second half last year. But not bad yesterday from Charlie Morton.
We've seen more of that of him lately. More of that lately. He's looked more like the guy we saw the back half of the schedule last year. And that's what we expect from him. He's a veteran. He's a guy that's a staple, that's been there before as part of this starting rotation. So certain things you expect from him. Last night, it tells a lot that the Braves were able to win this game even when he didn't have his best stuff. And that's going to happen sometimes. So that says all the more about the win last night, the way the Braves were able to win this game.
Kyle Wright on the mound tonight in Game 2 of the series. Ranger Suarez on the mound for the Phillies, which, in my opinion, probably the coolest name in baseball right now.
That is very cool.
Ranger Suarez. Beat him. Yeah. Kyle, looking to see Kyle Wright come back and have a nice start again, too, because as good as he's been for the majority of the season, kind of a couple rocky ones in a row. So love to see Kyle Wright go out there and look good tonight. Again, Justin Toscano from the AJC going to join us in about 45 minutes. He's in Philadelphia covering the Braves. We'll talk some more Braves with him. We'll get to a big deal, small deal, no deal in 10 minutes as well. Now, we're keeping an eye on Twitter, looking for a Woj bomb or Shams Charania or really anybody who's got any information about what might happen Hawks-wise. The rumors have slowed a little bit. I know it was hot and heavy pre-draft. John Collins is going to be on the move. He wasn't. Folks still saying John Collins may very well be on the move. The newest rumor was that Gallo and some draft picks were potentially going to be moved for DeJounte Murray to San Antonio. Then yesterday, you hear another Eastern Conference team has gotten involved. We knew that was going to happen. As soon as DeJounte Murray's name became public and teams in the NBA knew that he was available, other teams were going to test that. Like, DeJounte Murray is a good young player that a lot of people would want. So, look, hopefully the Hawks can offer them the return price that they're asking for. The other little bit of information yesterday was they might push back the deadline on Danilo Gallinari's guarantee. Like, if by 5 o'clock tonight they don't have anything done with Gallo, his $22 million guarantees, I guess Gallo could give them the extension, kind of like Matt Ryan did, remember?
Okay, right.
But that's not really exciting. pushing back a deadline for guaranteed money isn't really what we're looking for here, Hawks. Let's make something happen, man. Let's make a trade.
That's what we're looking for. And Murray sounds like a guy that would be a pretty good fit. And it seems like, if you're going to be able to do this deal and you're not having to deal John Collins, you're coming out in pretty good shape. Now, we're talking about some future draft picks, obviously, that they would want that. And so they want to get those, draft him, because where are the Hawks expecting to be in the draft in the next few years? They're not expecting to be in a lottery or anything like that. So I'd say let's make this deal. And I don't know what else we do for this team, but at least let's do this. Looks like we're getting close.
Yeah, you had an interesting thought before the show about, okay, so say you pull off the DeJounte Murray trade, which would be great, and I think everybody's kind of on board with. Maybe you don't have to do anything else. Maybe you run it back with a lot of the guys that were here the last couple of years and hope for a little bit better injury luck.
That's the other thing. I mean, you hate to turn guys out and you didn't get to have them on the field. We never got on the floor. We never had to get everybody on the floor last season at the same time. Always somebody missing for this team. And so, you want to give yourself the best chance, because you've seen what this lineup can potentially do. You know the piece that you need that's going to get you some more point production, a little more size in your backcourt. You got some other pieces on the bench now that's going to give you some of that depth and experience playing together. So I like what we have. You want to add some other pieces? I think we need to add some characters, some folks that's going to go out and do some things mentally and emotionally to the opponent. We kind of missed that guy. We didn't have Solo last year. We don't need just somebody to step in that role.
Yeah, give me a tough guy. Somebody that might fight. Yeah. I mean, also, hopefully he's a good basketball player too, but if Nerlens Noel tried to step to Trey and Solo wasn't having it.
Yeah.
It's nice. I don't know who that guy was on the team last year.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't either.
P.J. Tucker or somebody out there in free agency. I need one guy who's like a little bit off. You know?
just a little bit.
One guy who's a little bit off. We can't have a bunch of normal people on the roster.
Yeah, we need
one crazy person just to make the team really gel. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to a big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian. There's a lot else going on. Wimbledon is underway. I know Sam's obviously got an eye on that. Not what we wanted to see yesterday from Serena, unfortunately. But we'll get to a big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Sam Crenshaw filling in for Randy for the remainder of the week. Randy will be back on Tuesday as we celebrate the holiday on Monday.
And we won't be able to see Peachtree Road Race.
Well, I'll see it.
You will. You'll be right in the middle of it.
I'll be.
Have you got your start time yet?
You know what? So I got my number from Abe. His sister was going to run, and then she couldn't. So she kind of like gifted me her number.
Okay.
And I haven't done the registration yet. So
you might want to
probably
do that.
So yeah. I know A, when I'm starting, and B, all the other details about got to get down to the convention center over the weekend and get my number and that kind of stuff. So I don't know. Obviously, I'm not like a first wave guy. I'm not going that fast. I'm not going to be setting any land speed records on Monday. But the last couple times I did it, I did start pretty far back. And at that point, like, there's just so many people.
Yeah.
And people, you know.
It's this wall of humanity.
And people are out there. It's you know, people having a good time and walking and that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I the first time I ran it, I had the idea of, okay, I'm going to try. Here's my time goal, and I'm trying to do this, and I've been training. Unless you're starting early enough, like you throw all that out the window. Like you're slalom running through moms. There's nothing wrong. Get out there and get your 10K in and
you get the people
time.
All dressed up alike and they're all
exactly.
doing it right, you know. So
it's like, all right, you end up running 8 miles weaving in and out of people trying to just, you know, keep a good pace up. So
yeah,
just get out there, have fun, hydrate, have a good time.
It's Atlanta. It's Atlanta on the 4th.
It is. It's great. People are throwing you beers as you run through Buckhead and all that.
Yeah.
So we'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour just about 20 minutes from now. Justin Toscano from the AJC going to join us and talk some Braves at 11:20 as well. Before we jump into a big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian, I know you're a huge tennis fan, covered tennis for a long, long time. Serena Williams yesterday, we talked about it on the show, hoping maybe she'd catch some magic in a bottle and go on a run, and unfortunately out in the first round.
Yeah, Harmony Town, and you figured she hadn't played a singles match in a year.
Yep.
And you figured she wanted to go out there and play two sets, get on and get on and get off.
Yep.
And it goes three sets, and I start thinking, I don't know if she's up to three sets. And, you know, the thing about playing one of those tournaments, any of the Grand Slam tournaments, you got to put together 2 weeks of great tennis. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks of great tennis, and you don't know what her level was. Obviously, she felt like she was in condition enough to do it. She got the wild card, first of all, because they would have protected her ranking if she had asked to be a part of it a couple of weeks sooner. But she waited and waited and waited, so she ended up with a wild card instead. She's facing an opponent, and that kind of opponent to me, whenever she's faced an opponent like that in recent years, it's the match of a lifetime for them.
Mm, oh, yeah.
It's the match of a lifetime for them. And they're looking across the net and they're seeing history. And someone that they've tried to take something from what she does and put it in their recipe.
When they know everybody's watching.
Right.
It's the biggest spotlight they've ever been under.
And the thing of it is, can you hold it together mentally and emotionally? And she found out that she could.
Yeah, she did.
Right. You
know? It was a great match. I mean, it was, again, first round, but it goes three sets and it was a tiebreaker at the end and, you know. Bummer that she loses, but yeah, it was a hell of a match.
It was a heck of a match, over 3 hours long, and as I mentioned, Brian Gephardt wanted to come up for the late Frank Trakinian was the executive producer for CBS Sports golf coverage for many years, lived at Augusta, and he always said what happened at Augusta National was, you know, Augusta National was the stage, and the golfers were provided theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was great theater yesterday.
It was.
Great theater.
It was, and hopefully, you know, I know she's talking about maybe making another run and maybe later this summer.
But where does she stop?
I don't know.
Because the thing of it is each and every Grand Slam tournament has a very special memory for her,
right.
And the fans that come to those events have a very special attachment for her. Obviously, New York is next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll go and play the U.S. Open, but does she shut it down after the U.S. Open?
I don't know.
She's done very well in Australia.
Yeah.
That's been a great tournament for her down through the years. And, oh, by the way, the French Open, she's a part-time resident of France. And one of the things they'd love for you to do when you win is to speak to the crowd in French. And she's very fluent you know, in French. And with she and Venus being fashion statements, that's everything the folks in Paris love. So which one is the one did you stop on?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your last one going
to
be?
I don't know. I just hope whatever it is, whatever the one she decides to kind of ride off into the sunset on, she gets the ending that she wants. Whether it's, I mean, who knows? Maybe she can get hot and go on another run or whatever. But, you know, her legacy is secure. 23 Grand Slam titles. She's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. And, you know, just fun to watch her be able to get out there and do it again yesterday. Let's get to Brian in a big deal, small deal, no deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Solomon Brothers. This is my first day. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers. Find the perfect gift for any occasion at Solomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead or Alpharetta. Online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. We got all the interesting NBA news going on right now, and the Knicks are making some moves here to try to sign Jalen Brunson. They traded Nerlens Noel, who feels like he's been traded or signed and let go and released by, like, every team in the league now at this point. But Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks to the Detroit Pistons, and they also sent $6 million in cash and 2 second-round picks to clear up $19 million to make a 4-year, $110 million offer for Jalen Brunson from the Mavericks. Big deal, small deal, no deal, Sam.
Big deal, I think, for the Knicks. But what happened to these guys? You know, because when the Hawks beat them in the playoffs a couple years ago,
they're back, Sam.
Everybody was saying the Knicks are back,
they're
and
back,
the crowd's
baby.
Riding, and they're shouting profanity at Trae Young and spitting at him. It's okay, the Knicks are back. Maybe not, but if this helps them, being able to have a conversation, obviously, when the Knicks are relevant, it's a good thing for the league. So let's see if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel a lot of different ways about it because I love Jalen Brunson. Like, just a fun basketball player to watch. Really, really good player. Had the year he needed to have in Dallas and had the playoff run he needed to have. Like, this is a guy you would have never thought would be approaching a max contract after the first couple years of his career. And now here he is about to get really paid by the Knicks. I feel badly because he's going there. And when you go there, it doesn't tend to work out great for people. And I do think
that has to change at some point, though, doesn't it?
Maybe. And maybe he's the guy that does it. Like, and again, I love Jalen Brunson as a player. I mean, he's not, like, I don't think he's, like, the hugest difference maker in the world. He's not, like, a top five point guard in the NBA. So, yeah. I think he does make it, but, like, okay, so Jalen Brunson, R.J. Barrett, and what's the guy's name? Randall?
Yeah, Julius Randall. Lefty, by the way.
A bunch of lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another reason to root for him.
Well, I mean, if Jalen Brunson...
I think they're fine. They're fine.
Is he the best player on the team if he goes there and signs that 4-year, $110 million deal?
I don't know.
Randall was an all-star season.
He's supposed to be the guy.
Yeah. Supposed to be the guy, but...
But he's not.
He wasn't this past season.
Yeah, he's not.
R.J. Barrett is still very young.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, long-term, the Knicks have done some bad stuff in the past. So
yeah, they have.
Signing a 25-year-old from Jersey who played at Nova and, like, all that and is on his way up might not be the worst thing that they could do. Do you guys think it could work out long-term between Jalen Brunson and R.J. Barrett as the backcourt for the Knicks?
I mean, I think it could, but, like, I think whenever we have these conversations and people are putting together these trios, it's like, what do we mean? Like, I think they'd be probably pretty good, and I think it's probably a playoff team. But that trio is not going to win much. They might win a first-round playoff series, and that's okay. That's better than what they've been.
You're the Knicks. Where they've been the last 30 years.
Yeah, better than what they've been.
Right.
No doubt. And now, look, Jalen, get all the money, go back home and all that kind of stuff. But am I now concerned about the Knicks in the Eastern Conference? I am not.
No.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I got you there. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out for him because I think the crowd will really like him and all that sort of a thing. And who knows? The Knicks will find a way to screw it up. So, big deal, small deal, no deal. I found this a pretty interesting story. The NFL hiring their first ever executive only for sports betting. This guy's name is David Highhill. But the fact that they now have a position solely for sports betting as an executive in the league office, big deal, small deal, no deal, Sam.
It's a deal. I don't know if it's a big deal, but it's a necessity. You know, and it's going to be that way for all the major leagues right now. If they have someone in that area as it becomes a thing. If we talk about it more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a vacuum, if you just told me this 15 years ago, that there would be an executive in a sports league dedicated to that, I would say, damn, that's a huge deal. But right now, it just makes sense. Like, they need him. Like, every league is in bed with sports betting and the new revenue stream. It's going to boost value for franchises and leagues across the board. need to have a guy who's in charge of that kind of stuff. It makes sense. So it's kind of a natural progression of where things have gotten to, I think. But, I mean, it is still a big deal how invested into this these teams are. And we saw yesterday, was it Wrigley Field opened up their own little sports book inside? Nice looking little sports book inside the stadium. From a selfish standpoint, I hope we can get on board with this. Yeah. Like, you know,
come on, Georgia.
State of Georgia starts legalizing sports betting. Folks that are in the sports broadcasting business might get a little piece of that. So,
yeah,
I need a new fence.
92 of the game brought to you by Bet Rivers. Sounds really nice.
Let's go, Brian Kemp.
It's on the way, man.
I need a new fence and a new driveway.
The other interesting thing with this happening and this executive, this executive being hired, I mean, the whole Deshaun Watson story, the biggest underlying part of this whole thing is how it affects gambling for people and future. I'm serious.
No, I know.
The league is very, I mean, because no one can bet on the future of the AFC North, the division winners, the Super Bowl winner. Those odds change completely whether Deshaun Watson plays or not. So that's the big deal in that situation.
It is.
Final one for you guys, a big deal, small deal, no deal. The ACC officially adopting that scheduling format they had thrown out maybe about a month or two ago. So that's a 3-5-5, meaning they will play three permanent rivalry opponents every year, and then those other 10 will rotate. They'll go, you know, it'll be five different ones each year. Big deal, small deal, no deal, Sam.
I think it's a big deal because it's the trend. It's the way things, and everybody's waiting to see what the SEC will do. They've been kind of tabling it, with the SEC getting on board and doing away with the divisions. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's the right model also. At least starting with three, I would be okay with an extra conference game as well. Nine conference games is fine with me. I understand that means taking away one non-conference game, which means a payday for a smaller school and all that, and I don't know how to figure that out on the back end. But three is the right number of fixed games because I think that, you know, if you say you're Georgia, okay, then you've got your three teams you need to play in the SEC every single year. You take care of those traditional rivalries. Pretty much every team is going to be able to be taken care of in that way. Three is enough, I think. Throw me another conference game and make it 3-6-6 or whatever, three, however you'd work it. And then you see everybody more often. You get a home game against or a road game against these teams more often. That's the right way to go about it, in my opinion. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. We've got a new wide receiver who's rich. We'll tell you who that is. Brian's got a bunch of questions for us as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.